Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have been to every single Easter service for as long as I have lived. It was a big deal in my house, such a big deal that my parents refused to get us Easter baskets because they wanted us to understand the true meaning of Easter. But so as not to have outright rebellion, Mom would let us have one chocolate bunny each to keep us quiet. It was a solemn occasion. They wanted it to be all about Jesus. Well, I knew exactly what Easter was about growing up. It was about a new dress every spring. Oh, we had a wonderful tradition in our home because we didn't have much money, so every spring, right before Easter Sunday, Mom would take my sister and I out and get us brand spanking new dresses, usually matching, with matching shoes and little purses, and we were dressed up in all our finery, including one time when there was a blizzard on Easter Sunday morning. We said, we are still going in our Easter dresses and our Easter coats. We don't care if we freeze to death. It's just one of those things. I knew that that was very important. And then we'd go up to the local Moravian church, and there was a lovely sign, and she'd take a picture. So every year there's a picture of us by that church sign on Easter, because we didn't have cameras in our phones, and you had to take a picture and then send it away. And it took time. So pictures were kind of an expense, and you didn't have them. So I knew that at Easter time, I get a new outfit, and I get my picture taken. It was a wonderful time. As I grew up, I learned, too, that this was about Jesus and about his day. But is that all there is? Is it about one historic event that happened to a historical figure many, 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 many years ago that we commemorate once a year? If that was the case, then we should only have two services in the Christian year. We should have his birth, Christmas, and Easter, and that's about it. But what is Easter all about? I believe that Easter is a recurring event, that resurrection is not just the promise we have when we go to the graveyard and we look at our loved ones' tombstones and hope beyond hope that there's something other than this. I believe that resurrection happens each and every day as we are led by the Spirit of God. I believe this because I saw from the record some of the people that were affected by the resurrection morning. I think of Peter. When he went to the tomb, he didn't believe. He saw what he saw, and then he went home because he didn't know what to make of it. Finally, Jesus came to him and chatted with him personally, and he believed. It did not change Peter's personality after he believed. He was still the brash Peter. Even though he was not changed, everything was different. Because on the day of Pentecost, when everyone was trying to figure out what on earth was going on with these crazy people talking in other languages, who stood up but that brash Peter? The man who was not afraid of anything, who was impulsive. He was the first one up on his feet to tell everyone, and he convinced thousands of people that they ought to believe in this resurrected Christ. The power of the resurrection does not change our personalities, but channels them in ways that are so profound, like Peter. I think of the Apostle Paul. That was one of the most arrogant men on the planet. Paul was arrogant, he was violent, he was brilliant. And after God got a hold of him and this resurrected Jesus knocked him off his horse and told him who he was, Paul did not stop being arrogant. Read the Bible. When you read some of his letters, you know, you can see a bit of that pride coming right through. But that's the kind of personality that God needed to spread the gospel, because Paul was absolutely self-assured. He was brilliant. He could give voice to the faith like no one else could. But it's not only the greats of our Bible that we talk about when we think of Easter and what it means. I think of my crazy brother John. Now, John is certifiable. He's a lunatic. One day I hope you will meet him. He's 10 years my senior, and he was the one that my parents would shake their heads and wonder how they were going to survive Johnny. Johnny was crazy from the time he was born. He barely got through high school. In fact, I don't think he dropped out. They didn't. They sent him into the military thinking that that would straighten him out. He went to the Marines. And 4 years later, when he got out of the Marines, he was even crazier. When he got married, we thought that that would calm him down. All he did was make his poor, lovely wife nuts. In fact, after they had these two beautiful boys, she would forbid him from giving their evening baths or putting them to bed, because he'd get them so riled up that they'd be up half the night. This poor woman, she's been married to him 44 years. When he had an encounter with Jesus and turned his life over to Jesus, it did not change his personality. Johnny is as crazy today as he was back then. But oh, has God channeled him into wonderful work. He's befriended a pastor. Now, this pastor is a pastor of a large church. The pastor is, I would call it, revered in his church. He's a brilliant speaker. He attracts a lot of people, and Johnny is his friend. So when any of the good folks in this man's church tries to put the dear preacher on a pedestal, Johnny makes sure he knocks him right off it. And that man is so grateful for his friend, Johnny. Johnny goes to Bible study every week, and as nutty as he is, he knows the Bible backwards, forwards, all around. And the guys that go there with him are people who are just coming into faith, and they realize if someone as nuts as John can be a Christian, there's hope for me too. You can be a Christian and still have fun. John has not changed his personality, but everything is different. I remember one encounter I had with Christ. Now, I, like many of you, have been going to church since before I could remember. I knew the name of Jesus probably before I knew my own name. And yet, I had known him, I had prayed, but I had very few what I would call encounters. I knew what I read in the Bible. And I was in a Moravian church. It's a little Moravian church. I can tell you where I was seated. I was three rows from the back, only because I had gotten there a little late and the back row was taken. Because, you know, good Christians start from the back and come up, at least in the United States. So I was back there. It was still acceptable. And I was sitting in a communion service, and I had bowed my head for the silent prayer. Now, what does a silent prayer have? Maybe 15 seconds? But in those 15 seconds, as I was bowing my head, the overwhelming presence of Jesus was there that I thought, if I reach out, I can touch him. Now, I knew if I opened my eyes, I would see the person in the pew next to me. But I had such an unmistakable encounter with Jesus. Now, after I got up from that encounter and walked out that door, my personality did not change. I was the same snarky person. I still fled that church every Sunday because I knew that in a small church, if you get noticed too much, you get corralled, and I didn't want to be corralled. I had not changed my personality, but everything was different. And 7 years from that encounter, I was standing in the front of that church giving my vows of ordination. The resurrection doesn't change our personalities, but channels it into power. Some will say I'm still snarky to this day. In fact, I had called my sister. Sometimes I call her when I'm stuck and need help with a sermon. And I had called my sister one day, and I got my nephew on the phone, and I said, I need to talk to my sister about this. And my nephew said to me, well, Dawn, Auntie, I thought that your muse was Jesus. And I said, sometimes there's static on the line. Get my sister on the phone. My insecurities at that time were channeled into compassion. My snarkiness was channeled into humor. And my love was channeled into beauty. The resurrection is real not because it happened 2,000 years ago, but because it happens every time we bow our heads in prayer. It happens every time we are in worship. It happens at the craziest times, in a time we might not even realize that God's Spirit is speaking to us. How has the resurrection affected you? It might not change your personality, but you can channel that into beauty and joy and compassion and love and power to change this world for good. The resurrection is real to me, not because it happened 2,000 years ago, but because it happened today as I was in worship. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that your power is active today. I thank you that your grace sustains us in all times. And I ask that you would give us lives of purpose and power, that you will channel even those attributes that we do not find pleasing into something that will bless another. For I ask it in Jesus' name, amen.